And we have a special guest joining us again as we get ready to travel to Alabama to take on Alabama State for their homecoming. He is no stranger to Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. He does this for us every single year. He's the color analyst for the Hornet Sport Network, none other than Kamari Darrington. Welcome back to Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club.
Well, thank you for having me back. Always fun talking to you guys. I'm glad to talk football. Great way to spend some time with you guys.
Absolutely. We always appreciate it. You're so knowledgeable of our opponents. You always give us the gems and jewels. So had to have you back. But we definitely want to start off with this big come from behind SWAC road win over Texas Southern, 16-13. Alabama State scored 10 unanswered points in the fourth. So talk a little bit about that game and that big win.
Start off faster in games than we did last week against Texas Southern, and we knew it was going to be a tough game. And you know, because Texas Southern has such a great quarterback, Andrew Boddy, just unbelievable talent. And it was a good win for Alabama State. Both teams tried an onside kick that was unsuccessful, so there were a lot of mistakes in the game. But I think for Alabama State, finishing the game and finishing the way that they did, I think gives them confidence coming into a game where we both know it's going to be a supreme challenge for Alabama State. But it's a great opportunity for Alabama State as well. And you know, we're coming to a game where I don't think Alabama State's played its best game yet. I think their best football is ahead of them. So perhaps that gives the fans here some hope that maybe they'll play their best game, because they're going to have to play the best game they played all season. Mm-hmm. If they're going to give themselves a chance to come with a W on Saturday.
Right. So last weekend, the Hornets came away with the win in a game where their quarterback only threw for 104 yards on 9 completions. Now, that's typically not a recipe for success, but their ground game really carried them, 225 on the ground. They really spread it around. They had a 100-yard rusher, a 75-yard rusher, and some other guys contributing as well. So was that the expected identity of this team going into the season, to rely so heavily on the run?
Well, I think they wanted to be a little bit more balanced. I think when you come into the season, you have a quarterback like Demetrius Davis, just the potential of this offense because of all the weapons that he has around him, all the guys that he can get the ball to. I don't think people expected them to be able to run, to rely on the run as much, but to rely a little bit more on Davis's arm. But I think as the season has gone on, we've seen that the strength of the team has been the running game. Mm-hmm. Because they've got three running backs that they can get the ball to and can all contribute. Juwan Howell leads the team in rushing touchdowns. Ja'Cory mm-hmm. Merritt came in as the featured back, and he has been the featured back throughout the year. And then Santo Dunn, who transferred in from Morehouse, is another guy in the backfield that has been. So kind of a three-headed monster, mm-hmm. but they also go with the hot back. And, you know, last week was Juwan Howell down the stretch. You know, Ja'Cory Merritt a couple of weeks ago before he got hurt against Kirby A&M, of course, he came back in the game against Texas Southern. He was the hot back. Santo Dunn, it has also been the future back in time. So I think coming into the season, there was a lot of hope that the offense could be a lot more explosive. And we've seen at times they can be explosive. Against Miles, they scored on the first three possessions, and then they didn't score again the whole rest of the game. Mm-hmm. So they have looked good at times. They look like they've been a team that can move the ball down the field. But then they've had trouble in the red zone. And we've seen this only a lot of people have had trouble in the red zone against Jackson State this year. Even getting to the red zone against Jackson State. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, Alabama State, they got to finish drives. Obviously, you got to finish drives with touchdowns. You got to finish drives with kicks. And I think for Alabama State, they're going to have to play a lot better. They're going to have to play a lot more cleaner than they played throughout the season, again, to be able to move the ball against this defense. And I think, you know, the running game, the fact that they made an effort to run the ball a little bit more lately, has kind of helped them move the game along. They don't have to rely on Demetrius Davis making plays with him as much. They know they can run the football. And I think that they will have to be able to run the football that effectively to give themselves a chance this Saturday.
Right, and you talked about that three-headed monster, Merritt, Dunn, and Howard. I heard they've been dubbed Earth, Wind, and Fire, so they have a nickname. So definitely a lot of confidence with those guys. So looking forward to getting it on with them. But, you know, that rushing attack, it's even more impressive considering the fact that the offensive line is a little bit banged up. They've suffered some injuries. So are they expecting that unit to be back at full strength soon, or is that a long-term concern?
It's a long-term concern, but I think that we'll get be able to have a couple guys back healthy this week. And, you know, it's always next man up, no matter who's in the lineup. So I think, you know, Eddie Robinson Jr. is not going to make any excuses, and that he has some experienced guys behind the guys that he's got on the offensive line right now. So I think for them, it's more of a defense, able to attack a defense. And the question is, will they have enough guys to finish the game? But I think that they will be able to field an offensive line that will do their best against a strong defensive line. And I hope that their guys in the backfield can make plays, because it comes down to those guys finding the right holes and hitting them hard and seeing what they can do.
Absolutely. And you talked about your quarterback, Demetrius Davis, a four-star transfer from Auburn. So a lot of expectations for him coming in his two SWAT games. He's completed 22 of 42, 277, a touchdown, a pick, 52% completion percentage. So where would you say he stands right now relative to those expectations? And does he seem to have solidified that position?
It's been up and down. You know, he tries to make the big play. Sometimes when the big play doesn't have to be there. It's kind of frustrating for a coach. You know, he wants every play to be a home run ball because he's so used to having success. Mm-hmm. Of course, when you win 51 games in high school, that's going to happen. But, he's only started three games in college football. It's a different animal. Speed is different. It's just a faster game. So I think people expected this offense. People expected these teams. But again, you have to get the right guys. You have to give them time to develop. Now it's the sixth game of the year. It's six games of the season. But again, you got guys that have transferred in, so it's not they haven't been together the whole time. So that's kind of his best days are ahead of him. I think people came into the. I don't know if they overthought what was going to happen or put too much expectation on him. But, he's a freshman and he's playing, this is going to be his fourth start as a freshman quarterback. Mm-hmm. So he's made plays this year. He's had good games. Hasn't turned the ball over a lot. Hasn't, made too many bad decisions. But, you have to take the good with the bad. With him, he wants to make the big play. Sometimes you got to take what the defense gives you. And I think he's going to learn that as he moves along in his career. But I think for right now, I think he knows he can play better too. That's the thing about it. He wants to get better, and I think with this offense and with the guys that he has around him, he doesn't have to make the big play. He can let those guys make plays for him. And so I think the game, as he gets older, the game will come to him, and he'll be a lot better in that respect. I think right now it's about using his talent and using his ability as a dual threat quarterback to make plays for the team.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of this offense, currently the Hornets have one of the least potent offenses in the SWAC, only averaging about 15 points per game in conference play. That's 10th best in the league. So what are some of the keys to getting this offense going?
Well, first of all, I think it starts with the offensive line. The offensive line has to block better. Who's up front? Like I said, we are a little bit banged up, but we do have to block better up front. And, I think the fact that our running game is starting, you're starting to see that three-headed monster in the backfield, I think it's been beneficial. Also, penalties have to come down, especially when we've gotten to the red zone. We've had penalties or holding or, mistakes that have kept us from scoring touchdowns. And that's another big key. You got to score touchdowns against Jackson State. If you kick the field goals, it's going to be a long day for you, the way Jackson State has scored the ball. So I think for Alabama State, I kind of look at it like this. Can they run for 175 to 200 yards? If they can do that, they'll have a chance to win the game. Now, obviously, you can't give Jackson State, extra possession by turning the ball over. And that's been a problem for us this year, is turning the ball over. So that's something that'll have to be corrected. But I think at the end of the day, you have to have the confidence, first of all, going into the game that you're going to win the game. And with the offense that they have, I think, like I said, they're playing. I think they have the potential to be better than they've been. So maybe this is the kind of opponent that will give them the the ability to do that. But, you know, it's going to be hard. You know, Jackson State's defense has been very good. I think Alabama State's relied on his defense for most of the year. So, you know, and it's been Alabama State's calling card has been its defense. So, Alabama State's going to have to create some turnovers, maybe give themselves some short fields to not have to go the length of the field all the time. And they have to take advantage when they have opportunities in the red zone. They got to score touchdowns. First of all, they could get to the red zone. But when they get there, they got to score touchdowns. Can't kick field goals against this team.
Right. And, you know, when you talk about scoring touchdowns, obviously it's going to take some improved quarterback play because, you know, with a defense like Jack State, you can't be one-dimensional. So we definitely need to see more from Davis, which means you'll need to see more from his receiving group. So who are those receivers who have the talent to step up to help them out? I know Jeremiah Hickson has been solid for them. So is he a guy? Is he the main guy or some other guys as well?
I think he's been the main guy. Of course, he took that mantle last year after a couple of guys left, and then he kind of carried it into this year. Levante Chenault, whose brother's playing in the NFL right now, has come up with some big plays for him this year. I think the return of Keyshawn Johnson, he had some eligibility issues, but now he's been back the last couple of games. I think he stepped forward and being a pretty good target. But, you know, I think with Davis, there are a lot of guys that he can get the ball to. And, you know, we haven't used the tight ends a lot. I think we got to get these tight ends going. You know, I don't think they brought him here to just be blockers. I think they brought him there to catch the ball. So, I mean, all hands have to be on deck this Saturday. Mm-hmm. If you're going to, everybody's got to contribute. If you're going to beat a team like Jackson State, you're going to have to score points. And everybody's got to contribute out there. I think running backs out of the backfield, Merritt, Howell, and Dunn, you might have to, split them out at times at playing receiver. Mm-hmm. So all hands have to be on deck. And obviously, move the ball down the field, we're not going to be able to run the ball. We are going to have to make plays down the field. And there will be some opportunities, I think, to make plays down the field. So, if we can do that, then, we give ourselves a chance to move the ball. I think you have to have balance. I think you have to have about 200 yards rushing and about 200 yards passing. But also, I think quarterback has to play above and beyond, kind of like a job description. He's got to play above and beyond what he's played so far. Because if you're going to match or even be comparable to what Shador is going to do, because you expect Shador to get his numbers. You're going to have to play above your level, but above what you usually play to give yourself a chance to match up. And you don't have to be better than him, but you have to at least be able to hold your own in that quarterback comparison when the stats come out in the end.
Kamari, I want to take it back to this defense. You talked about it being the strength of the team, and the Hornets have been pretty solid in conference play, only giving up 18 points per game through two SWAC games, and they're led by all SWAC preseason selection. Mr. Davis, I think you mentioned his name earlier, but talk about how big this defense has been for the Hornets so far this season and what's been some of the keys to its success.
Well, I mean, first of all, you got to start with the secondary. The experience of the secondary, I think, has been very important. I called a lot on the telecast. I called a no-fly zone sometimes because they do a great job of defending receivers. They had a couple of lapses against Prairie View that you don't usually see, but I think they corrected some of those things last week against Texas Southern, and so that's been very important. Up front, no more Christian Clark, so we kind of had to use our little bit more speed. Yeah. We've got a little more speed up front. So I think Brandon Gaddy and Andrew Ogletree have been very big for us up front and getting to the quarterback, which I think you have to do if you're going to slow this offense down, because you're not going to stop Jackson State. You got to slow them down enough so that you can score enough points to win. You got to get to the quarterback, and I think our front six has to do a good job of getting to the quarterback. And when they get to him, they got to put him on the ground. They can't let him have open lanes to run the – have Shador open lanes to run the football, and also you got to cover pick your poison. You cover Shane Hooks, are you going to cover Willie Gaines? There's so many guys that they have to cover. You watch this team, and it's like you can't just key in on one person. It's because first of all, Sanders does a great job of spreading the ball around, but these guys are great athletes, and the most dangerous guy, I think, is probably Willie Gaines, the speedster. He kind of reminds me of Tyreek Hill because he's very fast as well. You got Dallas. You see these guys every week. So, You know, the list goes on and on. But I think for our defense, you know, I don't think we'll be intimidated by. I think they'll be ready for the challenge. I think they'll look forward to the challenge, in fact, because I think everybody all week is gonna be like, man, these guys, they're gonna run all over the field. I think there's a lot of pride, especially in that secondary, and I think they'll be ready to play. The question is, will they be able to turn that into promise? But you know, these guys, you know, that, you know, Urshad Davis is an all-SWAC selection. You know, he's the leader. In my opinion, he's the leader of the defense.
Oh yeah,
and I think they feed off of him, what they do, and the secondary has been really, really good for us this year. And I think that's really where the strength has been, in part because of the experience in the secondary. So they're going to have a lights out game. The three units, I think, that they're going to have their best game of the season in order for Alabama State to win on Saturday. Quarterback's got to play above and beyond. He's got to have
absolutely
defensive line, without question. Okay. They got to get to the door. And then the secondary has got to cover. Those three units play to their maximum potential. That's where you're gonna see. That's where you're gonna see the game won.
You mentioned Brandon Gaddy. You mentioned Ogletree, and of course, most people are gonna know about Urshad Davis, SWAC football followers. But a name that a lot of fans know and remember is Colton Adams. We call him Bubba, or you guys call him Bubba, or he's called Bubba. He's the linebacker for your group now. Yeah. Last year, he suffered some injuries. So, how has he looked? Is he back to his old self?
Oh, he's back to his old self. I covered this kid when he was at Wetumpka High School, and he loves to hit. He's still hitting. He's been ready to get out there. You know, he's missed a lot of the last two seasons because of injuries, and so he's back out there, and he's played well, and he looks to be 100%. So I know his old buddy J.D. Martin back there is going to be looking for him, and he'll be looking for them. So maybe a couple times they'll get together, and I'm sure Colton's been waiting for that moment too. For the last for a little while, so those two will get acquainted again. But you know, he's a great kid. You know, he's a humble guy. But he loves playing football, and he epitomizes the toughness that this defense needs to have to be as stingy as it is. He's an outstanding linebacker. He can get to the ball, has great instincts, and you know, when you haven't played a lot, to get a chance to play, he's ready to go. So I know he'll be very excited coming in on Saturday.
Right. Well, I can tell you, J.D. Martin doesn't want to get acquainted with him during the game. Maybe before.
No, maybe after the game.
But he doesn't want to. I wouldn't want to get acquainted with him during the game. All right. But so let's talk about your coach, obviously led by first-year coach Eddie Robinson, who returned to his alma mater. Of course, he played 11 years in the NFL, played in the Super Bowl. Now, that first year, it could be challenging for a new head coach, especially, you know, considering they're going to be inheriting players from the previous team, the previous staff that who may not fit their scheme. So talk about how Coach Robinson has transitioned himself in.
I think he's done a good job. People assume, you know, this is his first head coaching job. He doesn't know what he's doing. But, you know, I think for coaches, I think they surround themselves with other guys that they're comfortable with, number one. Number two, that can coach. I think he's very comfortable with Harry Williams, the offensive coordinator. Ryan Lewis, the defensive coordinator, is a new scheme, you know, that played a lot of 4-3 for the last few years. Now it's a kind of a 4-2-5 looks. It's a little bit different, but Ryan Lewis has done a good job around him. So I think, you know, the thing that you think about with first year head coaches is the logistics, you know, getting to the stadium, you know, the X's and O's in the game, you know, making a decision to go for it on fourth down or not. You know, those are the things that you worry about with first-year head coaches. But this is a guy that's been in so many different situations in football. I think he just relies on those instincts a lot to do what he does in coaching room. And, you know, when you come out and say you're going to win the SWAC championship first year, you know, that's you have to have that kind of mindset. And I think he has brought that mindset here to this team. And, of course, being a former Alabama State player himself and having won – championship here himself, I think he knows what it takes to win in this league, and I think he also has surrounded himself with people that work together well and mesh together well. So you know, I think he's transitioned well to being a head coach, and He's saying all the right things. This he's saying the right things so far about this week. And so, you know, we'll see how that translates in the game on Saturday. But, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, Alabama State has been starving to win games. I mean, this is, you know, we haven't had a winning season since 2015. Haven't, you know, only had, I think, a 5-6 season a couple of years ago. So, win or lose this week, you know, you still have 5 more games left to go. So you can't put all your eggs into this basket. You're going to need a lot of eggs in this basket. But you still got a lot of games to go. And I think for him, you know, setting the goal the way that he did, you know, it's helped the team a lot. And yeah, I think he's done a decent job coaching so far. We'll have to see what happens on Saturday and the rest of the year. But, you know, I think he's transitioned very well to being a coach. You know, this is his first head coaching job ever. And so, you know, to be 3-2 after 5 games as a coach, I think you're doing something right. So right. Well, we'll see what happens the rest of the season. But I think the fact that he's an Alabama State guy, you know, it puts him in a good position. The fans are trying to get behind him, trying to get behind the rest of his coaching staff, which has done a decent job so far. So, you know, I think Eddie Robinson Jr. being the coach, it fits well, obviously. And because of his NFL experience, you know, he can relay a lot of those situations to his players. And I think that helps out a lot when you have a guy that's played. And obviously, with Deion Sanders, it's kind of the same thing. You know, it's kind of a different way, but, you know, it's kind of the same thing. You know, he can relay some of those things to his players as well. So it's always good to have someone that has played the game, that's been in the game, that knows the game, and that can relay some of those things to you, because you're like, man, he's been there before. He knows what it takes to get to that point. Now, I'm playing for him, so he's going to help me be that same way. So he's done a decent job so far. I know, you know, every team wants to go, you know, undefeated every year, but you can't do that. So you have to take what you can take. And 3-2, I think, coming into this game, you know, he kind of expected that. Maybe 4-1 coming in, but, you know, he's done a decent job so far.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's also made some noise in the recruiting game already. Yeah. You know, he has a big weekend of recruits lined up for this game. 2 5-star recruits that we know of, at least. And, you know, another 4-star, another 3-star. That's pretty impressive. So what would you say has been kind of the key to that recruiting? Is it, you know, just the name, or is that just something that he's probably going to hang his hat on?
I think it's kind of because I don't think people expected it. You know, when he came in, you know, he only had a few months to get this thing lined up and together. But Billy Gresham, who is one of his coaches here, used to coach at Carver, where the 2 5-stars are coming from. So it helps to have connections there. Mm-hmm. And trying to keep, Alabama State is really doing their best, trying to keep kids here in Montgomery. It's been difficult, obviously, because, you know, those kids want to play at Alabama and Auburn and all these other schools. And then, you know, Deion Sanders, you know he's going to come in and try to talk to those kids too. So, you know, it's tough, but that's really, I think, what has been the biggest surprise so far was that he has been able to recruit so well. You know, you get guys like Levante Chenault from Colorado, you get, you know, Jason Medlock, you get a Santo Dunn from Morehouse. And now you're looking at him, you look at this guy's like, man, this guy, you know, this guy's getting some things done, and that's just in a transfer portal. Let's see what he can do if you get these guys, especially, you know, get at least one of those 2 Carver guys to come around. And I think the fact that he has a guy like Billy Gresham that knows the terrain here in Montgomery, try to keep some of those kids here. But that's been a problem years for Alabama State. But that's been the biggest thing. That's been the biggest surprise so far of his tenure, was that he was able to recruit so well. So I think people are excited about that, the fact that he has been able to do so well so far in the recruiting game. I think as time goes along, they feel it's going to get better and better. But, you know, that was a big surprise of how well he was able to do early on. But this is a big weekend for him. It's a big weekend for Alabama State. And, hey, it's a big weekend for Jackson State, too. I mean, you know, they're looking forward to it as well. So this is this is an exciting time to be here in Montgomery. I mean, you know, all the elements that are coming in, games already sold out. We're going to have you know, parking sold out, you know, all those things that come together, and have recruits like that coming in this weekend, not just from here in Montgomery, from across, I think, the South. I think there'll be some more guys coming in as well. So it's a big weekend, and I'm sure there'll be some guys that'll be wearing black and gold, you know, at least I hope so. But I think that's also what makes this weekend so important for Alabama State, is the fact that they've got a coach right now that has been recruiting very well, and this is a big weekend for him, and to get the guys that he's getting to come to the game this week and to see the atmosphere that can be had in the swag for both sides, really, is very important.
Right. Now, a couple of those guys, those 4 or 5-star recruits, they're committed elsewhere, you know, Georgia and other places. But Coach Prime always says, if you want to lose a kid, talking to the Power Five schools, if you want to lose a recruit to an HBCU, if you let him come to a homecoming game, you're going to lose, basically, is what he said. It happened with us with Travis Hunter. He was committed to Florida State for a couple of years, but he came to a homecoming, and it was a wrap from there. So, you know, a lot of buzz around, you know, Bama State. And just the whole homecoming and things of that nature. So a lot of it was stirred up by our own Coach Prime, right? The fact that Jackson State is playing, or Alabama State scheduled Jackson State for homecoming. And that has hyped this game up even more. Is that much of a talking point around Alabama State? I mean, obviously the players, coaches, and fans have no control over who they schedule for homecoming. So that's something that's talked about there. But because it's being talked about in Jackson, you better believe it.
I can imagine so. You know, I think most people look at, you know, you're a homecoming opponent, they kind of look at it as kind of a slap in the face, as an insult. But I think Coach Prime just trying to find a little edge.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jackson State didn't need any extra motivation to beat Alabama State, and Alabama State didn't need extra motivation to beat Jackson State. I think, you know, there's a little bit of talk about that. I think, you know, for Alabama State, they just need to focus on the game itself. You're playing against the number one team in HBCU football. I don't think there's anything extra on that. And and Coach Robinson said the diplomatic answer. You know, we have been trying to move it off of Turkey Day for a long, long time. It just happened to fall. You know, if you're gonna blame it at somebody, blame the SWAC schedule maker. They're the ones that should be involved here. They're the ones that happened to put the Jackson State game there. But you know. But look at it this way. This is going to be the biggest crowd Alabama State's going to have this year, without question. Like the game's already sold out. We might have a little bit more of the capacity. You might have to call the fire marshal. The seat's about 26,500. It might look about 30,000 to 35,000 people might try to
get in there.
I think that's what you're looking at. So it's going to be a big crowd, and I think both teams will be looking forward to the atmosphere. But you know, somebody's gotta be homecoming. And listen, whatever, Coach, I know Coach Prime, Coach Prime's gonna find whatever he can to
get absolutely. Yeah.
So, I think it adds to the hype of the game, obviously. It's a big game in the East, you know, you run out of contenders, but you know, it is a big game. So anything extra to add to it. A little something spicy. So it's been talked about here in Montgomery. It has been talked about. Don't get me wrong here, Montgomery. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's nothing necessarily extra about it. You know, this is Jackson State, the number one team in the game right now. They're the measuring stick in the SWAC, and Alabama State wants to see where it measures up. So we'll see, and we'll try not to have 61 hung up on us like Alabama.
Right.
But I think it adds to the fun of it, and I think Deion's good at marketing. He's been around a little bit, so he knows how to market. It's good for him, and you know, nothing wrong with trying to get a little extra,
He's great at it. Now you mentioned that 61 against Alabama A&M. Well, a lot of that was caused by Coach Maynard's, his comments. I know you remember the scooter comments, right? So they kind of added something to it. So Coach Prime used that, you know, locker room bulletin board material. So I think for Alabama State, there's a couple things that he's probably using as bulletin board material. Number one, he's been, you know, we talk about it, you know, the fact that Alabama State We're not going to, you know, we can place the blame wherever, but the fact is Alabama State schedule has Jackson State on their schedule for homecoming, right? That's what we see on this end, right? Yeah. But another thing that you can't forget, the last time Jackson State came to town, spring 21, I'm pretty sure you remember what happened afterwards, right? With the sign.
I don't think
that's forgotten either. So, you know, I'm not saying 61, but you know Coach Prime is going to be using that to his advantage, definitely. So, looking forward to it.
Well, I will say this, you know, I have no problem with, you know, the back and forth banter and, you know, the Jackson State response, you know, last year when we went up there and we lost by 21. You know, it's all in good fun. As long as it doesn't get personal, you know. It doesn't get personal. It's fun. The scooter thing, I got a kick out of it. You know, people got a kick out of it. Just as long as it doesn't get personal. So I know whoever wins, you know, it might be, you know how the Big Ten has all these trophy games. Maybe this is the reward you get if you win this game. You know, maybe that'll start being the reward. You get to put up a meme or something the next day for the winner. But you know, like so when I saw the picture now when y'all came down here, you know, with the picture, I wasn't hot about it. You know, I didn't get a huge kick. I was like, it wasn't necessary for me, but you know, it was all in good fun, and you know, I don't think it was any hard feelings. But you know, I know that Coach Sanders, you know, used that as extra motivation during the fall, and so you know, just again, it's one of those things where I'm sure that our wonderful video board department will have something nice if Alabama State is to get pull off what would be an upset. I think. You know, Jackson State comes in. They'll come into every game as a huge favorite. You know, and I think I think Alabama State knows that. You know, there's no false bravado here. You know, until they strap the pads on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think everybody knows that Jackson State's a huge favorite, and they'll be a huge favorite every game they play. You know, like I said, you know, it's all in good fun. It's part of this. You know, it's part of it, and the SWAC is known for this type of stuff. So. You know, hopefully, but like I said, as long as it doesn't get, you know, personal or anything like that, it's just fun and I'm fine with it. And, you know, it'll be a spirited game Saturday. I don't think there's any question about that. And I know, you know, people will be ready for this one. The buzz with the homecoming thing and, you know, just how things ended up the last two games. So there's a lot of extra buzz about this game. And like I said, the importance of the game because, you know, Alabama State, they're still mathematically in the SWAC East race. And for Jackson State, I think they want to, you know, again, knock off another team and put themselves one step closer to the SWAC championship. That's the main thing here is the importance of the game itself, even with all the other stuff that goes on off the field.
Indeed. Well, again, a lot of anticipation around the game. You talked about it being sold out. I saw we're parking sold out. I would imagine this is Alabama State's biggest home game in years, right? So,
Tuskegee, you know, it has some Tuskegee games, but I think this is probably, you know, probably it. I mean, even bigger than the spring of 2021 because you couldn't have the fans there. Mm-hmm. This is you better get there early. This is going to be packed out. There's not less space down there to begin with. It's going to be SRO. It's going to be standing room only. Might be standing room only in the press box. You might have to get cozy because you know, a lot of Saturday. This thing has been talked about for 2 weeks. It's really been a 2 week buildup. You know, obviously I was saying the game last week. This has been a two week buildup, and the game was already circled on the calendar for Alabama State, you know, because you know this is the team you have to beat if you're gonna win SWAC. You got to go through Jackson State, you know, you got to go through Florida A&M, but you definitely got to go through Jackson State. So the game was already circled on the calendar, but all the stuff that surrounded it, you know, has made this thing bigger, and you know, it's homecoming, and you know, it's just a huge game, but I think since this is the 10th year of ASU Stadium, this is probably the biggest home game they've had. I think there's no question about it. It's the biggest home game at ASU Stadium. You know, they had big games there before, but I don't think even any of the Tuskegee games they've had, that's a big rivalry too. But nothing is going to compare to what we're going to see Saturday. This is going to be. There's not going to be a seat filled. There's a grassy patch over here behind the video board. That's going to be people sitting out there There are going to be people standing outside the stadium, just, you know, not with a ticket, just trying to stand outside the stadium trying to watch this thing, because this is going to be big, and, you know, everybody's going to be there. So, but without question, this thing is I'm excited already. It's Wednesday. I can't wait for Saturday. It's
just absolutely.
Absolutely. A fantastic atmosphere. Probably the best atmosphere ever at ASU Stadium. And hopefully, wow. The weather permits that as well. And we will have – I know Jackson State will fill out that visitor side.
We're coming. Trust me.
They're coming. Yeah. You'll have –
trying to find some more tickets now.
Yeah. You know, trying to get those tickets. And, you know, I know Alabama State and their alumni, they're excited as well. It's an exciting time to be here at Alabama State. And, you know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, you know, no matter what happens, the atmosphere is going to be a lot of fun. And you know, the game's going to be fun too. But without question, this thing's gotten bigger than probably would have been without all the elements. But this thing's going
to
be
maybe. Good stuff. Well, we're looking forward to it. Tiger fans will be on the road. We will be in the house. We're trying to take over the city. I'm just going to let you know. That's just how we do it.
I think we took over Alabama A&M Stadium last year when they came down there. I think Deion Sanders did a great job in just challenging his fan base to, you know, to support the team. And I think for Alabama State, you know, the chance for them to kind of show that, hey, you know, we have the ability to host these type of big games as well. And I think, you know, you talk about recruiting, you talk about things surrounding that. You know, this is a big weekend for Alabama State athletics. You know, not just the fact that Jackson State is here, but because of what they could show. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. I know y'all looking forward to it. I mean, this game I've been looking forward to, you know, all season. You know, I watched a lot of Jackson State football the last 2 years, and I just like watching you guys play. So, you know, looking forward to Washington, and you know, for Alabama State fans, they hope they pull off a shocking win. I know maybe won't be shocking to some of these fans, but
I think it'll be shocking.
Yeah, I think most fans will be shocked.
Yeah, it'll be shocking. But,
you know, that's why they play the games, and you know, you know, Alabama State will be ready to play. They'll be ready to play. They'll show up and they'll play. And Jackson State, I know that they'll be ready to play as well. And I think we'll have a good football game Saturday. It'll be entertaining. We'll put it that way. It will be entertaining game. It'll be a 60-minute fight, I think.
All right. Good stuff. Well, again, as usual, as always, we appreciate your time. Thank you for all the valuable insight. Looking forward to the game. Looking forward to seeing you this weekend. Let's do it. Let's get it.
Oh yeah, looking forward to it. We'll see you guys come down here in full force, and hopefully it'll be a great atmosphere, and hopefully it'll just be in good natured fun, and hopefully everybody will go home excited about what happened this weekend.
Right. All right. See you next time.
Oh, we'll see you.
All right. Definitely appreciate that. Let me end the broadcast.